Perfect. Ah, okay, so I guess you didn't hear me. So I'm Nayeli Rodriguez Briones. I'm a Miller Fellow at the University of California, Berkeley. And I'm doing the postdoc, and I'm very happy to be part of this conference. So I want to thank the organizers, Benny Yoshida and Roger, yes, sir, Marco, for the invitation to present at this conference. So every time that I'm here, I feel very welcome, so I really appreciate it. So my topic is in the context of quantum information. So the part of the machine learning is not included, but actually I would find it interesting if people here could also keep thinking in the back of your mind, if you could think ways to answer the questions that I'm tackled, that would be interesting to discuss after. So what I'm doing is in the context of quantum information using the tools for quantum thermodynamics. So in particular, I'm going to present the activation of strong local passive states. So in thermodynamics, when you hear the passive state, it refers to state from which it's impossible to extract energy from it. And by activation, it means like how you could break that impossibility of energy extraction by using tools from quantum information processing. So in particular, I'm going to use the tool of quantum energy teleportation. So that's a protocol from quantum field theory. So recently, the tools from quantum information processing has given us like new methods for extracting and for transferring energy from quantum systems at the quantum scale. So the way to do that, you could imagine something similar to a quantum Maxwell daemon, in which you have your system, and whatever happened in the system, you could interpret it as the evolution of information. And in this case, this Maxwell daemon is going to be able to manipulate internally the information of the system, namely that it could do some operations on it to process the information of the system. So in that way, you could have internal manipulation of the entropy internally. So you could have tasks, for example, cooling a subsystem of these qubits, for example. And these new tools are important for in two directions for the applications in quantum technology. They are useful for creating highly pure quantum states. So they will help you to prepare the initial state for quantum computers, for example. So you will need to have a highly purity in a quantum computer for being able to have quantum error correction, or most of the quantum algorithms require the initial state to be in a pure state. So these type of protocols are very helpful for preparing the states in a non-destructive way. So actually one of the assumptions is that you don't require to have projective measurements to have highly pure quantum states. And in the other direction, actually it's more like fundamental, is for providing new insights to elucidate fundamental open questions in physics. So in particular, I'm focusing on the quantum thermodynamics side, but it could be also helpful for quantum gravity, quantum matter, among others. So quantum thermodynamics, it's trying to capture the emergent properties that you have when you have entanglement in your system. So while the classical thermodynamics is successful in the macroscopic regime, it fails to capture the behavior of the energy flows or the thermalization in quantum system when you have strong correlations and entanglement, like in this case. So these tools and this perspective of quantum information will help us to try to understand and characterize this new behavior in the energy flows and try to explain also the phase transition or critical behavior. So along those lines, my talk is going to tackle both of these directions. So in particular, what I'm interested is on the energy extraction of the quantum system in the presence of strong coupling and entanglement. So in particular, what we want to understand is what are the limitations of extracting energy when you have the limitation of local action in the system. And the second part is related to use the tools from quantum information processing for cooling in this system that have the limitations of extraction of energy by helping to activate using quantum energy teleportation. So first, to give a little bit of intuition of what do I mean by having limitations of local cooling. So imagine that you have this system of many elements that have a Hamiltonian with interaction among them. When you try to decrease the energy of this system, because of this Hamiltonian has these interactions, you are going to start having correlations in your system. And indeed, in general, the ground state we have entanglement because of this Hamiltonian. So now imagine that you have this system with that Hamiltonian in a high temperature, and what you want to do is cool down the system, but you are only restricted to have access to B here. And that would be like a local action on B. So if you try to drive the system to a low energy state, with local operations, you are not going to be able to create the correlations that are required for the low energy states for that Hamiltonian with interactions. So that's something that could be very useful for understanding the interplay between entanglement and locality, if you understand the behavior of how this energy would block at some point. So you will not be able to keep extracting energy, because to do it, you need to create correlations. So local operations are going to have some energy block in the flow of energy. So this talk is going to be divided in three parts. So first, I'm going to give a more concrete definition of what is a strong local passivity, the condition that I mentioned. And then I will explain how you could fully characterize this property. And at the end is how you could use quantum energy teleportation to block, to remove that block, so you could be able to activate again the extraction of energy. And also, I will present the results of the first experimental implementation of these quantum energy teleportation protocols. Okay, so for the strong local passivity, the way to define, so this is going to be what we call a strong local passive state. So it's a system from which whatever action local that you do on it, the only result will be increasing the energy of the whole system. So you could not decrease it. So in this case, this property has to be dependent of the two things, the state and the Hamiltonian. So it's not only enough saying that the state is passive, because the energy of the system depends on the Hamiltonian. So we will call a system in a passive state if the pair of the state and the Hamiltonian satisfy the condition that for any local operation G to apply in that subsystem, what you will have is that the difference of the energy will only increase. So the way to calculate the energy is given by the expectation value of the Hamiltonian in that state. So you compare here, after implementing the G operation, only local on the subsystem, and in comparison with the energy before. So if you have this condition that is going to be always bigger or equal to zero for any local operation, then you will call that system strong local passive state. And here it's important to mention that it should be for any operation. So that includes the most general type of interaction. So any CPTP map that you could have in that subsystem, if that condition is satisfied, is a strong local passive state. And to characterize it, maybe we could think again to have intuition of the sufficient conditions that I will present now, is that when you are very close to the energies that are, I mean, when you are very close to the ground state, to getting closer, you will have some problems. So you could imagine that there will be like a critical probability to be close to that ground state. And that was the result that was before our contribution. So that was by Masahiro Hota. He has the theorem of what would be the sufficient conditions to have this strong local passivity. So this theorem is in particular for states that you could write in an Eigen mixture. So you could see that the rho AV is written in the form of the sum of the linear combination of the Eigen energies of that Hamiltonian. So when you have that system in that way, and if your Hamiltonian has a ground state that is max rank entangled and non-degenerate, then you will have a critical value for being close to the ground state in such a way that if you are a little bit closer, your system will be passive. And here, what I mean by ground state in a max rank entangled It means that you are going to be able to write that ground state in the form of a Smith decomposition with all the coefficients different than zero. So you need to have all the coefficients to say that is max rank entangled. So this sufficient condition actually is easier to understand when you talk in terms of thermal states. So you have the theorem of that, the corollary of that theorem, sorry, for the thermal state. So equivalently, you have the conditions that you mentioned, a Hamiltonian that has a max rank entangled state. If your system is in a thermal state of temperature T, you will have a critical temperature in such a way that if your system is a little bit colder already to the critical temperature, then your system is going to be passive state. So before our contribution, that was the state of the, the field. So what we wanted to do is to fully, I have another slide, explaining what could it mean. So imagine that you have the system. So this is in a thermal state. And imagine that the system is already hot. So you would expect that it would be possible to extract energy if you make contact with something cold, right? So you think if you have access to the qubit that is in the box with a thermal bath that is very cold, just because you are in, if your system is below that critical temperature, even if you make contact with something very, very cold for a short duration, so is the interaction is local, you will not extract energy from the system. And even more unexpected, it could be possible that the hot thermal bath would give energy to the hot system. So that's the implication of the corollary. So far, the results that Masahiro Hota had were just to prove the existence of a critical temperature and the proof of a critical probability of being close to the ground state. So what we wanted to do is to fully characterize when your system could be in a passive state. So the way that we, I have some examples. Yeah, actually this type of state sounds kind of exotic, but it's not that difficult to have them. So for example, this Hamiltonian here, so it's for the simple case of two qubits. So you have here like the local Hamiltonians plus the interaction. The critical temperatures that you will have for this particular Hamiltonian are plotted in this graph as a function of the coupling strength. And what you could see is that when you start increasing the coupling, the ground state also will have a little bit more of entanglement, so it's also higher the critical temperature that you will have. So that means that your system doesn't need to be very cold to be in this condition. And something that is also interesting, if you see the plot goes up with the coupling strength, but at some point some of these curves goes down to zero, the exact value that you have, the temperature, the critical temperature equal to zero, is actually the point where the coupling value has a ground state that is degenerate. So you are losing one of the conditions to be. So it's interesting that you could see how quickly it goes to to zero. So you are losing the property at some point when you don't have the sufficient conditions in this case. And yes, so we wanted to fully characterize this notion. So we translate the question in the form of an optimization problem. So if you translate what I'm telling you in the form of energy extraction and try to see what would be the maximum extractable energy from the system, subject to any general operation on B, you could explore this problem using semi-definite programming, saying that what you want to do is that the maximum energy extractable is equal to zero, and the optimal case is when you do nothing. So if you don't do nothing, then you don't have any change of energy, and whatever other operation that you use is going to increase the energy of your system. So this it could be the interpretation of this optimization problem. So I will skip the technical part. So I will go to the meaning of solving this problem using semi-definite programming. So we got the necessary and sufficient conditions. And this theorem, like in the form of a theorem, so we have An inequality that will tell you if your system is passive or not. The only input that you need to have for the theorem is the state of your system, the Hamiltonian of the system, and you have to define what is the subsystem that you have access. And if you verify the inequality that is here, so I will not be too technical, but if you want, we can discuss after. So this theorem tells you for any general state and any Hamiltonian, if it's in a strong local passive state or not. So it's quite abstract because it's general result, so that works for any Hamiltonian that you could use as the input. And there's still like many open questions still in the field. So we have this theorem, but it still is important to understand a little bit more like the physical meaning of this. So what I think right now is that the result is very abstract. So it would be nice to also have more intuition of what are the properties that you have in the system and the behavior that you will have with the correlations. And also with this theorem, we were able to prove and find states that don't satisfy the sufficient conditions. So we showed that the sufficient conditions that were presented in the previous theorems are sufficient, but not necessarily. So we found some counterexamples that you don't have that sufficient conditions, but you could be in a strong local passive state. So that was our main, like one, the first contribution. And the second part is related to keep cooling. So right now we saw that if you have an interacting system, you might face this problem. But what we want is to prepare your qubit in a highly pure state. So does it mean that now we will have this problem for many body systems? So I mean, if you want to go to the ground state, as I mentioned, the ground state might be entangled. So that means that locally your qubits are going to be mixed. If you want to just directly break this entanglement, what you're going to do is that you will just mix the system. And if you are only have access to local parts of the system, you will have strong local passivity in some scenarios. So what we wanted to do is to mix and use the results from quantum field theory, a protocol that is quantum energy teleportation. So this protocol is also by Masahiro Hota, to see how you could break this condition. So the protocol is as follows. So what you have here, imagine that this state is strong local passive with respect to the subsystem that is in the box. What Masahiro Hota suggested is that when you have communication between subsystems, you could break the passivity of the system. So in this case, imagine that you have access to do a local measurement in a distant point. And then the information that you gain there, because you have correlation in the system, will help you to predict at some extent what you should do in the other part of the system to activate the energy. So what you have is here a measurement, and here it's important to say that if you just do the measurement, that is not enough to break the passivity of the system until you send the outcome to the other part. So actually, if you miss this step of sending the outcome, the system is still strong local passive. And then what you could do is use that information to optimize a unitary operation acting just locally in that part of the system to be able to extract energy. So that's what is called quantum energy teleportation. And here, part of the reason to call it quantum energy teleportation is that you could do these three steps much faster than the natural evolution of the Hamiltonian. So that means that you are giving energy to a distant point, and that is helping you to activate energy in the system that is blocked, but doesn't mean that the energy from this point flow to the other point. So actually, you could do it fast enough just to show and prove that the energy is just coming from what was before, previously locked in that point. So what we wanted to do is to test this protocol experimentally, first to show that the strong local passivity is something that you could observe in real systems in the lab, and also that the protocol indeed is useful for the activation of systems. So what we explore, we started with a minimal QET protocol, so that means that is for the two qubits, and here I'm just showing the example that we have. So you have this Hamiltonian when you have the asymmetric gamma equal to 1, the ground state of this Hamiltonian is in this form. So it's entangled. And that means that you will have some family of strong local passive states. So we use in particular that Hamiltonian. And the protocol, as I mentioned, is going to be first apply a POVM on A. But we want to be very careful in that POVM. So you have to use operators for the measurement that commute with the interacting term. And the reason of that is because when they commute, that means that you are not raising the energy on the surroundings of B. So that's an important step to prove that the first measurement is not going to give directly first energy to B. So that energy that you gave in the form of the measurement will stay locally on A. And then you have to be very fast to send the outcome to B and optimize what is the unitary that you have to implement on B, and you will have energy extraction. So in the example that I mentioned, this energy is given by this expression. So we wanted to test that in the laboratory and see if that's actually the energy that you obtain after implementing the steps of the protocol. And we did it. So this is actually would be the expected results. So if you do this for different values of the coupling, you see here below what would be the initial purity of the qubit that you want to purify. So the three lines in below is the initial purity. And you see that the one in blue is the one that corresponds to the strongest coupling, but also means that is the more mixed state. However, after applying the QET protocol, the ones three lines in the top is the final purities after it, is actually the one that benefit the most. So it starts very mixed, but after the protocol is the one that goes closer to purity one. So we wanted to have this experiment using NMR. So the experiment was done in the group of Raymond Laflamme and with the postdoc Himan Katiyar. In particular, they use this molecule. And if you see here, we have three qubits instead of two, and we want to prove the minimal. And the reason of the extra one is that in NMR, you don't have the projective measurements for the first step. So what you are able to have is the outcome will tell you the average measurement result. So to implement this protocol, you have to adjust it a little bit to have the fully unitary version. So you will introduce this auxiliary system that is helping to mediate the steps. So instead of doing the projective measurements, what you will do is have an auxiliary system that will interact first with A in a way that the unitary, global unitary on these two qubits will commute with the interaction term. So it's same condition that you are not increasing the energy on the surroundings of B. And then instead of sending classical communication, you are going to use quantum communication because you will use the same auxiliary system that now has encoded on the state the result of the outcome and use this auxiliary system to implement a second unitary on B. And the unitary globally is the one that will have the energy extraction from the system. So this is the steps describing what I just explained. So first you have to prepare the strong local passive state, the first interaction of the auxiliary system with A is the one that will help to gain information from the system. So in particular is the one that maximizes the mutual information between the auxiliary system and A. So that could be achieved with the unitaries on yellow. And then for the last part, for the classical, I mean, for the quantum information, communication and the extraction of energy, you will apply a unitary on the auxiliary system and B in such a way that have to optimize the decrease of the energy of the system. So after this circuit, we are expecting to have the energy extraction that I showed you before. And the experimental results, actually they were like, yeah, we were happy with the results because we observed that actually you have a successful quantum energy teleportation protocol, and the predicted values for the energy extracted under the experimental results, actually they like a very good fit. And yeah, actually, this is the last contribution that we had in the field of the astronomical passivity and quantum energy teleportation. So it's in the reference below, and it's going to be soon in PRL. So we are just having the last modification, but it's accepted. So you could find it in the reference and soon in PRL. So just to conclude, the role of entanglement and locality is very important for the thermodynamical properties of quantum systems, and it still is important to tackle some of the open questions. So it's new and there's still a lot of room to understand what is happening in that level. So in our work, we fully characterize this strong local property of strong local passivity, and we showed the necessary and sufficient conditions, but still we want to have a little bit more of the physical intuition, so there's still a lot of room there. And then we show how it's possible to use the quantum energy teleportation to help with the activation of this type of states, and we proved and presented the first experimental demonstration of this protocol. So, yep, that's it. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the great talk.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks very much for the talk. Yeah, it was great. I might have missed this a little bit, but for the unitary that you apply to extract the local energy once you have the measurement outcome, how do you build that unitary, or can you speak more about that again, or can you clarify that a little bit for me?
Oh yeah, how do you construct this unitary?
Yeah, correct. The unitary, once you have the measurement outcome, once you've communicated the outcome, want to extract the local energy, increase the purity, how do you do that?
Yeah, actually that unitary, you have to optimize depending the form of the post-measurement state. So depending the outcome that you have a different state, so you will know what unitary is the one that extracts the energy. So basically after you have that information, you will be able to have in average the positive energy of extraction. So that's something that you need to have the post-measurement state and then make the average. So actually it's just doing the optimization on that expression.
Okay, thanks for that. One more question if possible. Just at the start you said, this is more like basic foundational one probably, but you talked about how, I guess, classical thermodynamics cannot predict or cannot adequately capture the thermodynamic behavior of systems with entanglement, right? But isn't it the case though that with tools like eigenstate thermalization, these tools for systems that do isolated quantum systems that do thermalize, generally non-integrable systems, they end up realizing values for their local observables that do thermalize that match the classical predictions, right? Mm-hmm. And these are strongly correlated systems, even for these non-integrable systems, right? So in what way, I guess, does classical thermodynamics not capture thermodynamic behavior of systems with entanglement, despite eigenstate thermalization being able to, or classical thermodynamics being able to match the predictions of eigenstate thermalization? Yeah, I'm sure there's an explanation for that, but yeah.
Actually what I meant by that is that the directions of the flows of energy actually could be very different than the classical thermodynamics. Like what you would have in the classical version is that energy would always flow like
I see what you're saying.
And in this case, it seems that actually it's kind of contradictory. So it's not exactly that you want.
It's not the final prediction. It's the dynamics almost.
The dynamics
of the energy flows.
Yeah. Right. So actually, that still has like a.
Okay. No, that makes perfect sense. Thank you.
Question right here.
Hi, thank you so much for the talk. It was really interesting.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask. This is maybe a silly question, but. Can subsystem B be adjacent to subsystem A? like in your setup, you have, you measure subsystem A and you send the information potentially to some other location which has subsystem B. Mm-hmm. But if I was just in a lab with a Bell state and I measured one, could I just perform this operation locally? Does subsystem B need to be far from A, or can it be adjacent?
You mean, like, what is the requirement for the distance?
Is there one, is my question.
Oh, okay. That is not like a restriction, like how far or how close they have to be. But what you want to have is that the communication arrives faster than the energy flow naturally through the system, just to warranty that if you give energy to some point, what you are extracting is just something that was previously in that part and is not something that you introduced during the first measurement. So it's not that it will condition that the extraction or not will happen, but actually what you want to warranty is that the energy that you extracted is the one that you previously had locked and you wanted to activate. But yeah, actually it could be like very far as you want, as like if you satisfy this communication being faster than the...
That's interesting. I guess like a quick follow-up is like, is the speed at which the energy transfers through the system locally well understood? Is it material dependent? Like if I'm actually doing this in a lab and I have to be able to know how much time I have between sending the signal after the measurement mm-hmm. to then train that unitary.
Yeah.
Is that ever a bottleneck where you just don't have enough time to train if it's not sufficiently far?
Yeah, actually that depends on the platform that you use. But for example, in nuclear magnetic resonance, the pulses that you implement in the system, they are very fast in comparison with the time for the propagation of the energy. So actually these pulses are in the order of nanoseconds, so the resolution that you have among them. So you could have these steps implemented and be for sure, like sure that the energy that you extract is within the requirements that you have need for the protocol.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Other question?
Thanks for the nice talk. I just have a question regarding the protocol. So this SLP is a property of the Hamiltonian and the actual state. Right. However, in your circuit, you show for the protocol, you initialize at zero, and then you do some gate set, right? So at what point is the Hamiltonian, Hamiltonian that has this strong local passive state? Do you turn on that Hamiltonian after you prepared the strong local passive state, or?
Oh, okay, you mean like for this part? Yeah, actually the Hamiltonian that we use is this one, but in NMR, actually they are not able to have pure state. So what they use is something that is called pseudo pure state, that you only act in the part that could behave as the evolution of a pure system. So that's the reason that actually here it starts as zero, but it's not actually the pure state. It's something that is called pseudo pure state. So you would have to prepare what is the required state before being able, but the system is evolving under this Hamiltonian, the Hamiltonian of the molecule. So actually this Hamiltonian is only for the A and B. And the values that you have in the table that would correspond to the coupling among all the carbons. But at the end, what you will have is somehow like the evolution of a simulation of this Hamiltonian with these parameters in the experiment.
Thank you.
Question? Can I ask? So this strong local passivity is like we want to cool down the system mm-hmm. by looking at local regions and probably I guess the limitation comes from the fact that such a local procedure cannot create entanglement and low ground states. Very entangled. That's probably the reason why. So, but any So I wonder then this quantum energy teleportation protocol, which somehow gets around this limitation probably, but is there any generic like limitation for quantum energy teleportation? Is it eventually reaching to the ground states or?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Like, if you will have a limit value of energy extracted with the protocol of QET, and probably you could go to the ground state. Actually, I don't know the answer. I think it's still like open. Yeah.
For example, some of the, let's say, quantum error correction, like if I want to go to the state with a toric code, I will measurement and I send the measurement outcome and apply feedbacks on subsystems. So, well, it's kind of error. So I
Yeah. So I think that's interesting. If it could also be applied for the quantum error correction, some connections with it. And yeah, actually, I don't know if eventually you could drive the whole system to a ground state if you keep extracting energy from it. Like, I guess there could be like some limitations of how much energy you could be able to extract. But actually, right now, I don't have the answer. But it's interesting to explore that direction. Also, other thing is that here the operations that you have is assumed to be local, but it's also local in the sense that you want to assume that the interaction happened and you will not have the energy flow from other parts of the system. But if you keep that interaction in contact for a long time, you could also ask the question of how long my system will remain in that strong local passive state, because eventually energy or information will naturally flow through other parts of the system. So yeah, there's also other open question, like what is the lifetime of this property? Actually it is.
Hi, very cool talk. Super interesting topic. I was wondering about the analogy between quantum energy teleportation and the standard quantum teleportation by Bennett and so on.
Yeah.
Where you teleport information of one qubit to the other side. Because as far as I understood, in the standard quantum teleportation, you need to perform Bell state measurements, project things into Bell states. But I think you perform local measurements, right? Could you elaborate on this analogy?
Yeah, actually the analogy is on the trees. Okay, sorry, he's here. So actually, the analogy is that you are having the energy injection in a distant point, and then you will communicate that information. So it's using the LOCCs, and these three steps somehow are analogous, but actually it's not that they are totally equivalent in any sense. So what they wanted to mean by that is that by using the local operations and the classical communication as you do in the usual teleportation and following the steps of having measurement, communication of outcome, you could recreate in a distant point what you had in the other one. So there was no energy propagated through the system. So what you did is giving energy to a distant point to help activate energy in another part. So in the teleportation of information, what you have is disentangled state, and you want to send the quantum state to the other point, or you are able to reproduce it here. So what you have is this measurement on this part, but that destroys the state of your system, and then you send that information, so you will know what operation implement in the other part. So that operation helps you to reproduce the state that you had before. So in that sense here, the information is helping you to activate energy. So
the important part of the normal quantum teleportation, as far as I understand, is to perform this Bell state measurement. So there's one particle that you want to teleport together with one particle of entangled state. Mm-hmm. And this seems to be different here. So I wonder why you can do it without such a Bell state measurement.
Can you repeat that last part? How you could what?
Sorry?
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. Yeah. So for a standard quantum teleportation, you need to perform a Pell state measurement. Mm-hmm. So you need to project two particles, the one particle that you want to teleport,
yeah,
and one particle of a pair of an entangled state that you have produced. You need to project those two into a Pell state.
Yeah.
So by performing a Pell state measurement. Mm-hmm. So you have a two-particle measurement. And with this information and classical communication, you can reproduce mm-hmm. it at the remaining particle. But here it seems you can do this teleportation just by looking at one single particle, right? So mm-hmm. you measure one particle and then communicate information further.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I wonder why... Yeah,
here the similarities that the resource is still is the entanglement. So in the usual teleportation, what it's helpful to have this protocol is that actually you have entanglement and you have this shared part. So in this multipartite system, what you are also consuming is this resource of entanglement among the subsystem. So you're assuming that there's correlations among the particles. So yeah, so that's also the resource here, the correlations. But yeah, actually, I'm not saying that they are like fully analogous one to the other. Actually, at some point, I was also complaining that they decided to pick that name because it could be misleading. But yeah, so I understand what could be the similarities, but I also was a little bit like complaining why they call it that way. Yeah. Thank you.
Any other question? Okay, if not, let's thank you.